Hey beauties, I'm Maria.
And I'm Megan, and we are the co-founders of The Intentional Single, a place for Catholic single and dating gals to be seen, known, loved on, and journeyed with.
We know you're tired of feeling overlooked in your ache, because honestly, holding on to hope while single and dating can be one of the most challenging things you've ever done. If that's you, girl, you're in the right place here.
Get ready for countless gems on how to live a full and whole lifestyle, diving into dating, mindsets, hormones, theology, literally all of the things.
We're excited to journey alongside you because the sight of heaven, we never arrive. And we are with you on that journey. So welcome to The Intentional Singles.
Thriving in the space between.
Different. We are going to give you guys a little taste of one of our workshops that we did, I guess, about a year ago, actually, where we were talking about how do you hold on to hope when you're not the one, you know, in that space between, right? This is where I am, maybe single, maybe dating, and over there is where I want to be, married, with a family, etc. Okay. And we did this beautiful workshop because the gorgeous gals in our community shared what a challenging space that has been. And we also know, Megan and I know from our own experiences, how challenging that can be. So we wanted to share just a little bit from that workshop and some things that we learned along the way, some helpful mindsets and heart spaces to be in. And yeah, just take you along for the ride. So enjoy and feel free to reach out to us if you have more questions about what we're diving into or if there's more topics on this that you'd like to hear. So here we go.
The first thing that we want to dive into that ends up being a negative a lot of times around the season is at the heart, we don't actually believe that God's good and wants good things for us. Does that resonate with you guys if you're really honest? Okay. And that's part of the pain point, right? Because we don't hope because at the root, we're not sure whether God can actually be trusted, whether he's good, whether he's a kind father, whether he actually wants to give us good things or answer our desires for that matter, right? We question it. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to happen. He wanted that to happen at the beginning of time and he wants it to happen now. So looking at your pain point, I want to invite you to write down and answer the following questions, okay? Number one is, do you believe that God is good on a heart level, okay? And that God wants good things for you. And then why or why not? And be really honest, because you guys, there's no shame in this. To be super honest, I had a season where I didn't believe that God was actually good and kind and wanted good things for me. I mean, in my head, I would have said, sure, God's good. He wants good things, right? But my heart experience had a different story to tell. So we want to invite you to just be really honest with us. We're taking this time to get into our hearts, not just our head. We know what the correct answer is. But right now, it doesn't matter how much we know it in our head, if our hearts are somewhere different, because that will show up in your relationship with the Lord, and it'll show up in the way that you show up to your own life, right? You can't have intimacy with someone you don't trust. And we're all created ultimately for intimacy with Jesus. But if we can't learn to have intimacy with the Lord, we also can't learn to have intimacy with someone else. You know, so trying to open that space up. So write that down. And then once you've written down those areas where you feel like, gosh, the belief and trust in the Father's goodness is lacking, I want to invite you to next write down some ways that you have seen his kindness and goodness to you. You've heard that what we focus on, we see more of, right? And a lot of times when we're in a space, we're looking at all the things we don't have. We're looking at all the ways that the Father's not showing up. And so now we're going to take a minute to also identify how is the Father showing up for you? How has he? How has he been kind to you? And now in your mind's eye, I want you to just be present with the Lord for a minute. Just close your eyes, slow breath through your nose, out your mouth, breathe in Jesus, breathe out peace. Having those moments of intimacy with the Lord is so important because it really is a building block and a foundation for building hope and being able to enter the season with joy and freedom rather than feeling that sad, hopeless, depressed, stuck, dread feeling, right? Okay, so your homework from this part, okay, is moving forward every day. We want to invite you to start looking for ways that the Father has been good and kind and present to you, okay? The areas where there's been moments of joy, of beauty, of goodness, okay? So starting to like focus your brain, starting to know, where am I going to look? I'm going to look to see where are the ways that the Father is showing up, okay? So that's a little bit of homework moving forward. So now the second thing that can be a big block for us during this season that usually gets us stuck is comparison. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I love those smiles. You guys are like, been there, done that. So it's been said that comparison is the thief of joy, right? And how true that is. So let's go through a scenario. Many times what happens is your friend calls you up super excited about some kind of life event. Maybe she just got married, got engaged. Maybe she's found out she's pregnant. Maybe she, you know, there's some kind of really exciting moment for her. Okay. And your first response is, wow, congratulations. And then immediately you picture her and her significant other or the situation, right? And the fun wedding planning festivities or the baby shower, whatever, right? And you go down the road and immediately you pause and then you think, wait, but look at my life. I don't have a significant other. Heck, I haven't even been asked out on a date, let alone anywhere close to getting engaged, right? It'll never happen for me. There must be something wrong with me, right? And we go down, this just, it's, we just plunge, you know? And as we go deep into that comparison and negative self-talk, before you know it, you're feeling so crummy about your life and all the sadness and hopelessness and dread, it just settles in you. Can you guys relate? You experience something to this, right? And maybe it's not every time. Maybe it's not totally in that way, but where there's hints of that, right? Where you really want to celebrate your friend and you're even truly and genuinely happy for her, right? But it makes it sadder and harder for you because you're looking at the lack in your life and you go down the thinking path that it may never happen for me, or it's not happening when and how and where I wanted and I hoped to. And maybe that is a reality. Maybe the reality is there's certain parts of it that won't happen for you. But the problem with that is when we get into that comparison, it's because we're taking one or two perfect moments of someone's day or someone's life and we're interpreting that perfect second as a life of perfection, right? When in reality, it might be a gift moment and a mountaintop moment. And we all go through mountaintops and valleys, right? Welcome to life. hills and valleys, right? No one stays on top of the mountain. You know, that's not life. Even, you know, when the apostles, during the transfiguration, right? They're like, Lord, let's stay up here. And he's like, actually, no, right? We all want to stay on top of the mountain. But the other thing that ties in quickly with comparison is jealousy. And Wikipedia defines jealousy as generally referring to thoughts of insecurity or fear or concern over a relative lack of something, right? And then it can lead to those emotions of anger or resentment, helplessness or disgust. And the thing is that when jealousy comes to play, for some people, it may dive into this place of like low self-esteem, you know, a fear that, gosh, well, if they have this, that means that I don't have this. Distrust, right? We can just go down this line of things and we can latch on to jealousy and wallow in it. And if we don't watch out, it can actually end up consuming us where suddenly we become a nasty person in some capacity, if we're really honest. You know, and the thing is that there's an interesting spin on jealousy that I thought was so fascinating that I recently was heard in a talk that I was like, oh, this is fascinating. That usually when we think of jealousy, we tie that in with hatred or detest, right? Or some kind of a block between you and another person. But what if we actually flip jealousy and see it as a tool, kind of a wake up of sorts? What if the reality is that jealousy is actually like blocked desire, right? And that when it starts to bubble up and consume you, that's kind of taking that pause, because jealousy is a direction, it's a clue, right? It's a directional signal. Yes, it can be, it's blocked by fear, or comparison, insecurity, stress. But when you recognize, oh, wait, there's jealousy. I recognize that. What is that about, ladies? It's about something that you want or desire. So how are you going to aim it? Are you going to aim it and go inward so that it consumes you and turns into resentment, which is a choice? Or do you explore it and lean into it and say, wait, what's underneath that? It can point us towards a direction. And then what can you, like, maybe one of the questions is, what can I learn? This person that I'm jealous of right now, what can I learn from them? Right? They maybe they have something that you want. Is there a skill that they learned that you haven't learned yet? Huh? What if you got curious? And the other thing jealousy does is that it cues you into what you desire and then going deeper. Okay. Why do I desire that? So maybe this case, maybe it's marriage. Do you believe it'll make you happier? Do you believe it'll solve certain problems? What's underneath that desire? So start to explore it, right? But then also recognizing, wait, I also have to offer that.
All right, ladies. So again, there was so much to this workshop, and we're just giving you guys a little taste. But now we wanted to go ahead and transition to the part of the workshop where Megan shared about boundaries, because we know that for so many of our gals, boundaries can be a really challenging place in honoring what we're able to do when we're struggling with hope. You know, what we commit to, what we say yes to. So I'm excited for you guys to hear this next part.
Let's go.
All right, ladies. How many of you have been that friend who's always rejoicing in other people's lives events, their life's events? Okay. Maybe you're always the one who's hosting the parties. Maybe you're the one who stays up late to clean up. Maybe you're the one who volunteers to babysit all the kiddos, run all the errands, do all of the things. I know that space so well because that was my role for so long. I'm actually, side note, I'm the third oldest of a very big family. I have 11 kids in my family and I have 6 sisters. And let's just say there's so many events with extended family, events with friends. I'm going to share a story shortly, but the reason, ladies, that there's something in this season that we all need to learn, it doesn't matter if you're from a big family, and they're called boundaries. I just want to give you the definition real quick, because I think sometimes we hear this word all the time, and it's like, what does that actually mean? Okay, Webster defines boundaries as something that indicates or fixes a limit or extent. Whoa, what? I think actually that definition says everything about boundaries. A limit or extent. I wish I could look every single one of you women in the eyes, because how many of you ladies actually have no clue where your limit is until it's too late? Because you're not even paying attention to yourself. I see smiles and I see hands. That resonates. Ladies, we have an incredible, incredible gift of being nurturers, and we pour out everything for everyone out of love, right? We're like, oh, because it's because I love. And are we actually taking care of ourselves well? Do we actually love our neighbors as yourself? If you don't know how to love yourself, the reality is also, how do you love your neighbor well? And some of you are so used to pouring out for others that you actually haven't stopped to think and say, wait, yes. Like, I know I'm available that day to babysit. Yeah, I like could go over and, you know, get to the place early, or I could stay late and help clean up. Yeah, like my space is free. Like I can host that. But is it actually good for me to do this in this very moment of my life, in this season? Or asking yourself, is it placing me in a space that actually isn't healthy for me? And I think these questions are resonating with you. Because so often, ladies, we are racing and we are dancing through life and we're not pausing and we're not taking the time to actually ask ourselves these questions. And these questions are paramount, because sometimes what happens in this space is that those codependency tendencies can sneak in, because what's our desire? All we want is to feel needed. right? But then we go home at night after pouring ourselves out and we cry ourselves to sleep, because in the process of taking care, taking really good care, right? That's what we do of everybody else. We completely forget that we're actually also a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we live and we serve and we love out of our bodies. And if we aren't taking good care of us in the process, realistically, ladies, we don't take care of those around us well. So what exactly is a boundary, ladies? A boundary is knowing where you start and end, and someone else or something else starts and ends. And what do I mean by that? Because before you say yes to all of the things for those you love, I want you to pause and ask yourself, okay, am I in an emotional and mental space where it would be good to say yes? Or is that going to overextend? Because if I had really asked myself in that moment, or if you had really asked yourself in your own moment of a time where you said yes, and then you realized afterwards, whether it was in your tears or your complaining or your frustrations or the resentment maybe that you're still holding on to, if you'd actually paused and asked, am I going to overextend here? So this is a process for all of us that when we learn boundaries, which takes time, it's so normal to start noticing these patterns. And then at what point of saying yes, have you noticed afterwards, whoa, that was really too much. I should not have said yes to babysitting the kids all weekend long at my sister's, right? I should not have said yes to planning that entire bridal shower. Maybe I shouldn't have even have said yes to being in that friend's wedding. Right? Whatever that is for you, just throwing out some ideas there. It's actually not mean and it's not selfish to say, hey, I would love to, but I can't actually. Like, I'm not able to help out until such and such a time. That's actually loving really well, because do you want to know what? You're setting aside your pride. You're placing yourself in humility with your hands extended and you're saying, this is my capacity. I want to love you and serve you well. And I can't do that right now, but I can love you in this way. Boundaries actually, ladies, they help others know how to love you well. And when other people set boundaries, it helps you to know how to love them well. And ladies, boundaries during this season are so, so necessary. We aren't saying don't help with your friend's baby shower. We aren't saying don't clean up after the reception. We aren't saying don't babysit your siblings' kids. But we are saying taking some time to think about whether it would be good and healthy to say yes in this season for you and in this moment, that also needs to be a priority. I think a really good rule of thumb in this space, ladies, is asking yourself, okay, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you should doesn't mean you need to. I'm gonna say that one more time. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you should doesn't mean that you need to.
All right, ladies, we hope that this little peek into one of our workshops, How to Hold On to Hope When You're Not the One, we hope that it was helpful for you, that it brought some awareness and maybe encouraged you to begin to implement some skills and some new practices so that you can really honor both yourself and those around you and the Lord, right? If you have, again, if you have any questions about any of this, if you are wondering what it would be like to journey with the Intentional Single, either in membership or with one-on-one coaching, please reach out to us. You can just go to theintentionalsingle.com and get in the know on all the things. We also have a weekly newsletter that goes out on Wednesdays, and we'd love to invite you into that space as well. So God bless you guys, and thank you for listening. But freedom waits.